You remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know, they were having a challenge, and they got out there with, I forget how many of them was it, hundreds of them. They were throwing themselves on the altar and calling on their God and shaking themselves. You can't hear me? That's too loud. What are you saying? What are you saying? Turn it up. I can't turn me up. She said I need to be loud. I don't know if I need to be loud. Maybe I need to talk louder. I do have a softer voice. My wife always tells me that. Your voice is so soft. I said, that's just for you, honey. Anyway, the prophets of Baal, they're out there, they're cutting themselves, they're going crazy, they're shaking, they're rolling around, they're doing all kinds of stuff they tell us we do in the Pentecostal church. They're doing all that in front of their God, and nothing happens. You know, you remember what Elijah told his people to do? He said, go ahead on, throw some water up on the altar. He got 12 barrels, I can't forget how many. They throw tons of water, they put all bunch of stuff on there. They were like, oh, ain't no way that God's going to hear you. He called on his God. God lapped up the sacrifice, the water, everything around the water. Just lapped it up. You say, why are you telling that story? Well, I'm telling that story because sometimes we think it's weird that we can get, you know, hilariously joyful in the presence of our God. We can't. There's nothing wrong with it. And I believe God blesses us when we show him that we are appreciative of what he's done for us through a praise and worship. Through worshiping, throwing our hands up and shouting and going, glorify you, Lord. I think sometimes we scare the devil off when we do that. Some of you say, what? Yeah, but he's hanging around you. He ain't hanging around me because I do too much of giving God glory and praise. Now, I shouldn't make that judgment. I'm so sorry. Who knows? You could be doing a whole bunch of stuff. Amen? Amen. But I believe that he runs off from us. He resists the devil, he'll flee from you. Amen? All things, your circumstances ain't looking right for you. Begin to glorify God. Praise you, Jesus. We go throughout the house, me and my wife, and we just glorify him. Whenever we get a bad report, whenever we get a prayer request on the prayer request line, we just go through the house. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your mercy that endures forever and ever. And how you are not a God who cannot, how you are a God who cannot lie. Tells the truth always. So you can't trust that devil. He's the father of lies. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. You say, oh, no, I listen to him sometimes. You know, he tells the truth sometimes. What are you doing listening to the half-truth guy? You need to be listening to the all-truth guy. All truth. Everything he says to you is the truth. You can take it home, take it to the bank every time. And that's who you want to listen to. You want to listen to God. So I'm going to take up where we left off last time. We're talking about growing in grace. Pastor's already sharing with us his what God has given him concerning growing in the grace of our Lord. I talked about, try to give you an understanding of who God is. God is not just the old flippant God. He didn't wake up one morning and go, okay, let me just make man. I'm going to make man today. You know, he didn't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to make him have a helpmate called woman. He didn't just wake up and go, oh, I think I'll do that. Do you think he's that kind of God? The Bible tells us how fearfully and wonderfully you are made. I was in the doctor's office. I didn't share this with everybody, and Sherry didn't want me to share it with everybody, but we were in the emergency, well, not emergency room, we was in the surgery operation room. I wasn't in there, but I was in the waiting room part. And they have a picture on the wall of the heart. And I want you to know, your heart is a fascinating thing. It is fearfully wonderful. I mean, it's got all this stuff. And you, I'm looking at it like, how in the world does it work? Ventricles and, you know, alleyways, and you know, it's pumping up. It's wonderful thing that God has done. No man could do it. And I'm telling you, God didn't just wake up one morning and go, oh, I think I'll just do that. Created man out of the dust of the earth and then breathed life into him. He had some thought going into what's going on with us. There's a vision and some goals that God has set. So you would think that for us, when he comes to give us salvation, we are so excited about this salvation. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that he did that for me because I couldn't do it for myself. I couldn't. There was no way that I could sacrifice myself. I was too much into sin. My nature was just so bad. It had to be somebody else to come and rescue me and deliver me. And it was him, Jesus, did it for us. And we're so excited about it, we could all just go to the house right there. You know, we're salvation. And that's what some of us do. We just sit down in that salvation going, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. No matter what else is going on in the world, no matter what's going on in my life, it could be a shipwreck. All kinds of messed up stuff going on in my life and my family. But yeah, I got salvation. You know, if you ever hung around some black churches, that's the way they believe. They come on church Sunday morning, they are stomping and shouting because salvation belongs to them. No matter what happens, no matter what they do, God says, I have saved you and brought you to a place of peace and rescue. All you have to do is wait for it when you die. But do you think God thought like that? Does God think like that? Oh, I'm going to give you salvation, but you're going to trip up and you're going to fall and all kinds of stuff, bad stuff. Calamity and adversity is going to happen to you before you get to enjoy paradise. Do you think God was thinking like that? Do you think he was thinking like that? Come on, Tim. You can say it if you do. Because I don't think he was thinking like that. I think he was calculating. I think he was planning about our future and what he wanted us to be and what he wanted us to do. I think he had a strict order of things, a purpose for each of us. You know, we hear that sometimes. Everybody remember that book that came out, Purpose-Driven Life, you know, where we're living a purpose-driven life. What's the purpose for us? My life has meaning other than God just saved me. He saved me for a reason. He saved me. There was an object. There was something he was looking at when he began to form us in the earth. Hallelujah. Do you want to know what it is? Do you already know? Do you already know what it is? Have you taken part in it? Those of us who've been born again, stepped into this order and this way God, this system, let's put it that way, of way God thinks and what he desires, what he wants for us. He made it for us. You say, well, that's heavy. That's heavy. You want me to think about that? Well, I do want you to put some thought in that. Because, you know, I was ministering one time. I think it was a home care group that we had, and we were talking about God saving us. And, you know, we got on the subject of the life and the abundant life, and this question came up. And the lady said, does God really give us abundant life? The Bible tells us that he gives us abundant life, life more abundantly. And, you know, she made that statement because she realized, even though she was saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongue-talking Christian, she wasn't living the abundant life. She was looking at her life going, something is not ratcheting up. Something not pure, something not right, because I don't see that I have life more abundantly, an abundant life. And, you know, we can have all kinds of definitions for that, what that means. But the question, you know, King rose up because I think this morning, you know, we're going to start talking about this system that God has and prepare for us, that, you know, that I think some of us has missed. Paul wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament, and we miss what he was trying to do, what he was saying. And I want to get into some of that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for you being who you are. We thank you this morning that you are available to us. that you have made yourself, Father God, known in this house, in this place, and that you're drawing nigh to each one of our hearts, Father, that we may perceive you, and we may know you, may understand you. May, Father God, enter into the place of growth that you've desired for us. We're not, Father, looking for any kind of show or any kind of way, Lord God, to perk ourselves up or lift ourselves up, Father God. We are looking for a way to lift you up, to lift Jesus up, to allow you, Father, to shine through us as your word intended. In Jesus' name, we pray. So we come to the first level of growth, and a lot of us know about this. And I'm going to take you through the word. It may be boring for some of you to hear some of these things. Pastor's been talking on some of these things already. But I'm going to share with you some of those things that he's been giving me concerning the first stage and level that we enter into when we become born again. He calls us something, and he calls us this term, I think, for a reason, so that we can understand that it's just a low level and that it's time to go somewhere else. It's low, but it's higher than a lot of other things, higher than the devil for sure. When we get born again, we take a step above him. No, the Bible tells us that nothing that he does can harm us, that we have been given authority all over his authority, the enemy's authority. Once we become saved, we become his master if you can have your faith and trust in him. So the first level is what? We are born again into becoming newborn babes. I'm going to talk about babes in a generic kind of sense. First of all, if you turn to Isaiah 3, those of you who have Bibles, Isaiah chapter 3 mentions babes in an interesting way. We'll start, I'm reading from the Amplified. I'm going to start in verse 1. My Bible flipped all by itself from Isaiah to Songs of Solomon. I don't know what's going on over there. For behold, the Lord of hosts is taken away from Jerusalem and from Judah, the stay and the staff, every kind of prop, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the professional prophet, the one who foretells by divination and the old man, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor and the expert craftsman and the skillful enchanter. God is taken away from Jerusalem, because they probably sinned and they're going into captivity here somewhere. And I will make boys their princes, and with childishness shall they rule over them without rage instead of justice. Now here you give a picture of how a babe is going to rule. And it doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? We don't want babes ruling over us. Amen? It's not, and especially in the King James it says, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, is what the King James says. And so he's meaning for that to be a chastisement. You know, the attitude of a babe is other than all these other things in the first three verses, where you see there's prophets and men of war and ancient and old men and wisdom, you know, and fortitude and mighty men, all that. Two boys or babes. So the childishness, the infants, just as a natural newborn babes desire milk in order to be nourished and grow, our spiritual life, just after being born again, is in need of spiritual milk. Let's go make another turn here. Matthew 11:25. Again, we see an example of babes. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus began to say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and I acknowledge openly and joyfully to your honor that you have hidden these things from the wise and clever and learned and revealed them to babies, to the childish, untaught, and unskilled. And we're talking about revelations of God's truth. You know, sometimes it takes the attitude of a person who will just have simple faith to trust God. And that's what he's talking about here. He doesn't want us to remain childish and untaught and unlearned. He's just making an example of how he wants us to perceive some things that come to us through the word of God, like a child, like a babe. You know, someone who is not going to challenge God, but just take him at his word. Well, that's a positive thing about the babes in Christ that we see throughout the scripture. It's, that verse is also in Luke where he talks about those revelations and things that come to us, and he wants us to have simple, just trust me, simple faith. So, well, let's get to the meat. Pastor's already gone over this particular verse, but I want to point out some things in it. In 1 Peter, second chapter, turn over there. We're going to be turning to a bunch of scripture, so if you want to get yourself ready. Last time, I don't think we turned one time. I told you I was up here, you know, just falling off to the Holy Spirit, but, you know, I think we need the word of God, right, to anchor us to what he's saying. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So Paul is talking, or Peter's talking here, and he's talking about laying aside malice and guile, envies, and prophecies. So, hypocrisies. So that gives you an idea of some of the attitudes that a newborn babe has, right? That you want to lay aside. He says, lay them aside. And then begin to perceive or begin to accept or begin to receive the sincere milk or desire the sincere milk of the word. Just as natural born babies desire milk in order to be nourished and grow, our spiritual life, just after being born again, is in need of spiritual milk from the word of God. In 1 Peter, we get this picture. This verse encourages what? To lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, and evil speaking, and to desire the milk. Malice. Anybody want to raise their hand? I know what that is. If you don't know, I want to tell you. Malice is the desire to inflict injury or harm or suffering on another, either because of hostile impulses or out of deep-seated meanness. By law, it's an evil intent on the part of a person who commits a wrongful act injurious to others. God says, lay that aside. And now you're thinking, well, I don't have desire. Well, let's just keep on reading here. Newborn babes are struggling with this attitude of desiring to inflict injury or harm or suffering. You know, gossiping is a way of injuring our brothers and sisters. Guile is insidious, cunning, in attaining a goal, crafty or artful deception, duplicity. Guile. If you have guile, you're deceptive. You're calculating. You're trying to find a way to get up a one-up on someone, to get over on even your enemies. Guile. Lay aside guile as a newborn babe. We're to lay those aside. And some of you may have already done these because I know a lot of us have been saved for many years. So you probably already have gotten through some of this newborn stuff. Hypocrisy is, now this is a heavy one, pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious belief or principles that one does not really possess. It's pretending. I remember I was praying one time, and this question came into my heart. God, what's going on in the church? And the word came to me, pretense. I had to look it up because at that time I didn't know what it was. Pretending. And you guys know, there are lots of Christians pretending. Lots of Christians going on, you know, you think, oh man, look at them. They really got it going. They really got it in tune. But they're just pretending to have things right. They're not reading their word. They're not really, you know, doing the things that God attests and gives to us. They're just limping on. They're one of those in that group that I put in the not really saved. They saved, but not really saved. Well, I'm saying that this morning. Remember, we are to be laying these things aside and desiring behaviors and attitudes produced by the Word of God in its place. Newborn babes are often steeped in this behavior, moving in a form of righteousness, but really performing the opposite, pretending to be saved but are not, pretending or acting out behavior that is not from a sincere change of heart. Some preachers teach that you should fake it until you make it. In other words, act like you have a certain attitude or trait before it actually manifests in your life. And that's good if you want to save your face and not be embarrassed while facing others. But remember, the object of receiving the sincere miracle of the Word of God is for you and I to receive an effective change of heart that leads to a real attitude change and growth. Our behavior must change. You know, the things that we're saying that's coming out of our mouth, you and I need to be judging those things. The way we act when we are talking in fellowship with one another, you know, talking about, you know, current events or past events or future events or our loved ones or the pastor, we need to be judging what we're saying, because these things tell us our attitude and whether we are still in this low state of being newborn and not have grown any. You be the one to say, okay, I need to move on. I need to go to the next level. I don't want to stay a newborn babe. We don't want to stay newborn babes and have these particular attitudes. Amen? Envy is included in that. Envy. A feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, possessions, an object of such a feeling. Oh, they've got more than I do. You know, I got to be like them. I want what they got. Why are the evil man prospering? I'm a Christian. I should be more and better than him. God should have me in a better place. Are you envying an evil man? An unsaved person? Are you desiring those things? Why I got to be done? Always got to go pray and things that don't work for me. Look at her. She over there and she just does whatever she wants to do, but I just can't get myself together. What is going on? What is going on? Why are you belly aching? Are you still in this stage of newborn and God is trying to grow you up? And our God is not dumb. I'm going to say that. He is not stupid. He will use everything available to him to get you and I to the place where we need to be. Everything. Do you hear me? He will use everything. And that includes sickness and disease. He will use it. I didn't say he put it on you. But he will use it. Why? You and I, we got to get ourselves together. We got to move. This train, if you want to call it, that we're riding is going to a certain place. We've hopped on the salvation train. Some of us want to stay in the last car, and don't move up to the next car. We don't want to stay back there just reveling. Infants are, you know, just like regular babies. Infants are what? They're always taken care of. They've always got the mom and dad holding them and feeding them, and you know, they just nothing, no care in the world. Who wouldn't want to be in that place? I have children that are full grown, wishing they could come back and be one of them. God, Dad, take care of me. But that's not the way this system has been growing along. And God, it's been going on for a while. Now, for God, it has only been days. But for us, it's been thousands of years. And he's got a place. He's got a point in action, a point in the future. So envying. Living in another's blessings is not how God desires us to live. One of the Ten Commandments is to not be covetousness, right? Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet. He tells us that right out. But yet we still have these, well, look what they got. I want to be better than them. We need to keep our focus, right, on the promises of God and what God is designed for us and how he wants us to grow in these steps. Next one says, evil speaking. This is newborn babe behavior. Speaking evil about others or engaging in speech that is negative and degenerate to your own or others' situation. It can also be used as a decadent speech in order to gain a positive feeling about oneself or about one's own circumstances. Oh my God. Oh yeah. Do we engage in some of that? Oh yes, we do. We ought not to, because this is where we're supposed to move past. We're supposed to be laying these things aside. I shouldn't be concerned about anybody else but me and my growth in God and any encouragement God asks me to give to you, right? He may say, Kurt, you need to say something to somebody, or you may hug someone. That's being obedient to God, and that's how he uses us to grow. But I shouldn't be speaking evil of anyone. We're not even my enemy, not even your enemy. This is a point that we need to get across to ourselves. See, God has a whole different thing going on other than us raising ourselves up. Oh, as a Christian, we are better than those, you know, because we have all of the things that God shares with us. You know, I'm better than them, so I should be able to do more things or better things or have it greater than them. But yet, we're speaking about something that only God really knows about, where they are and what's happening with them. We're to enter into what? God's kingdom. We're to be exercising the truth of the word of God. His kingdom is the one that should be reigning. That's where we, all of our purpose and our objection and our focus and our eyes should be on God's kingdom. Why should I care about the evil guy that's prospering and getting whatever he's getting? Why should I care about what they're doing over there in the political realm? Why? When I should be focused on God's kingdom, the peace of God's kingdom, how he desires for me to actually be a part of him reigning. Because that realm, the realm of the government, is not going to really become the realm that we so desire until we, those of us who understand this growth pattern, begin to operate according to the word of God. You know, our vision, so that the New River Valley will be filled with the knowledge of God, the word of God. We want that to be profusely. Why do we have that vision? Because when the word of God is profusely all everywhere, then people begin to take notice of God and begin to act like God, right? Righteousness then prevails. And it'll prevail in the government. But till we get a hold of this, till Christians begin to understand that they can't operate like the world and expect God to do something. You can't. It won't happen. Newborn babes, this is their attitude. And we know we've all grown past this, but I needed to start here. These are negative behaviors. If your life is consumed by these after you have become born again, then you know you are still living as a carnal Christian. An unregenerate life, as 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, as mere men. Some of you go, well, I'm a man. I'm a woman. I mean, we mean mere men. Well, God has come and he's transformed us into something else. And, you know, he said, I've been going again. I've become a new creature. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3, if you want to turn there, I become something else. I'm not just a mere man. I'm not just a man. I've been given some other things that make me a little more than what a mere man is. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Do you make that connection that a baby in Christ is a carnal Christian? A carnal Christian is a Christian that operates by the flesh and not by the spirit. He's equating this in the church in Corinthians. He's creating carnality to babes. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, right? Because milk is for babes. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying, what we just talked about, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? What's he telling us? He's telling us we got to be more than just men. We got to be more than just men. Got to be more than just men. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and give you this. This is the thought came to me. So God is producing, right, something. He's producing something in the world. And he's had Jesus come, and the word of God and Jesus has been preached a whole lot of places all over the world. But what country started on the principles of the doctrines of Christ? Can you picture one? Okay, everybody got one in their mind they're thinking about? Everybody get one. I'm talking to God, right? So, you know, you can take this as being that. Well, Curtis said he would talk. I was just talking to God. And you want to talk to God, Pastor Rob. Pastor Eric will probably do some study on this. But if a principle of God, right, the doctrines of God, he already mentioned the six that are in Hebrews. Wouldn't the very first thing be that God is love and that love should profusely profound? It's love. We should love everyone. Benevolence and giving. God is peaceful love. What country? What country professes some of that? Now, that country professes a whole bunch of other stuff, but can you think of one that does that? Love reigns around here. We're not going to let other things enter in, but we're going to direct ourselves to this loving one another, which helped us to produce a constitution that says that we should be what? Equal. Gives us what? Civil rights, people rights, citizen rights. Where is that? Where else is that in the world? You say, well, I can think of a few places. Where else is it profusely, profoundly, and ultimately where people point to? Where is that? That's the question that the Holy Spirit asked me. He said, where is that? And I was, okay, the UK. It's in the UK. And he said, I was like, wait a minute. They were part of the, you know, carrying out the mission of God. But the foundational truth of love and benevolence came from where? You know, and I was like, wow. So where do you think that the church needs to actually grow up into? Where's the first place you think it's going to happen? Paul's exhorting the Corinthians And he couldn't speak to them as spiritual men and women. His desire was to speak to everyone as a spiritual man and woman. But he said he couldn't in the church of Corinth because they were still operating in their carnality, still in their flesh, still as newborn babes, still having envyings and divisions and strife and speaking evil. He said, I need to grow you up. If you really think about Paul's vision into God's vision, two-thirds of the Bible was written to people whose countries were steeped in idolatry. You grew up and you were born into a house of idolatry. Your mom and dad did it. The dad and mom before that did it. Everybody around you did it. The town was doing it. They had a temple built where they did it. He's going into that town and saying, get rid of those things and come to Jesus. This brother about to have the power of God on him. Do you understand that? Why? Because they're steeped in it. They grew up in it. That's all they know. It's become a part, other than their carnal nature, it's become a part of what their life is. And you're wanting to rip them out from there. And say, Jesus is the way. Love one another. Stop biting. Stop going around envying and creating divisions. He's got a job. Holy Spirit's got a job. But we know he can do it because he gave us two-thirds of the Bible to let us know how he did it. But he wasn't going in there just to appease them because they were babes. And, oh, God, my God. Are they going to remain like this forever? He didn't want them to remain newborn babes. He didn't want them to. Amen? He said, I want to speak to you like you know something. I want to speak to you like you're a spiritual man and woman. I don't want to speak to you like you're still in your carnal flesh. I want to speak to you like you know something, like you've been somewhere, like you know Jesus, like you've been a part of him. That's how I want to talk to you, but I can't because you're doing some really interesting things. He outlines some of these things for us in 1 Peter as being characteristics of newborn babies. We talked about envy, strife, and divisions. The milk of the word is characteristics of those scriptures that are suited for new converts. We must first rid ourselves of some of these negative behaviors before we can begin to understand deeper things of God's word, suited for those who walk with God longer than just 5 minutes. What do you learn? What do we learn at the beginning of our walk with God? And what scriptures are suited for newborn babes? Let's go and tackle a little bit of that. Paul gives us some of these things in the verses that follow in 1 Corinthians 3 through 4, verse 4 through 23. Regarding no man after the flesh any longer, only regard God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Regard is to look upon or to think on with a particular feeling, to have or show respect for or pay attention to and look or gaze upon. This is what he's telling them over in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 4. For let's read that. King James. For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. He that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto us, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive you, or let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. When we're talking about sincere milk, what are the things that we should be concentrating on? I think through those verses, you can find a lot that God wants us to be meditating on and thinking about. It is God who increases us in any situation. So look forward to God in everything. It is God who increases us in any situation. So look forward to God in everything. It is God who uses men to deliver us to us inspirations of the Spirit into his word. Men may plant and water us with the word of God, but it is God who causes the planting and the watering to increase us or to cause us to grow in understanding and wisdom. Is it not God that does the increase? You read the word, but God gives the increase. I hear the pastor minister to me. He gives me the word, but God gives me the increase. You may come and you may encourage me with a word, or you may pray with me, but it is God that gives me the increase. It is God. This is how you keep yourself from idolizing a man and a person. As babes, he says he wants you to understand and learn that. But if you haven't learned that and you idolize a man or put a pastor on a pedestal, then you're still walking as a babe. Those are attitudes and actions that are rooted in carnality. These are the things we're supposed to separate ourselves from, laying aside those things, right? And you say, oh man, I didn't know it was possible. Newborn babes are focused on laying a Jesus foundation. It is Jesus our Savior, why we are saved, how we are saved, where we should spend our time learning and building upon God. Get to know Jesus and read and study the Gospels. That's where Jesus has his most profound ministry, is in through the Gospels. When I was first born again in a Baptist church, the deacon that led me to the Lord looked at me and he gave me a Bible and he said, start your walk with God in the book of John. He said, don't worry about the other books. Don't worry about the other, don't worry about John, the Old Testament. You start in the book of John, and you learn about Jesus. You learn about your Savior. You learn about the one who redeemed you and set you free. He's the one that's going to keep you, right? He's the one that's going to deliver you. If you start there, then you'll get it right. He is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith. All right, let's go on. Let's see. So, we're talking about foundational truths that new babies should learn how to do, and Pastor has already started his discourse on those in Hebrews, where we are learning about those six things that we should have as foundational truths. We should study and understand what they are. Now, we may have a simplistic understanding about them, but we will have an understanding. That's where God's saying, this is some of the milk that I want you to receive. You understand these six things, and they're a part of the foundational truths that you're supposed to have as a babe in Christ before you move to the next level. Now, are you saying I can't move to the next level? No, I'm not saying you can't move to the next level. I'm not saying you can't do a whole bunch of stuff. You do whatever God tells you to do. That's what you do. But I'm saying in this system that God has provided, there is a wave. There is a place that you can catch a direction for your life if you begin to understand that I'm supposed to move on from being a babe to the next level. Amen? I'm skipping some of this here. As newborn babes, our hearts will desire to follow holy, honorable men of faith. This is a noble calling. We are weak and unknowledgeable concerning the word of God as babes. We are unskilled in spiritual ways and thoughts, so we will seek to get next to those who appear to have more skill and more knowledge. That's just natural. That's just a progression that will come to us as we are born again. But remember, Paul warns us, newborn babes, not to glory in men, but to glory only in God. The spirit of truth that's in you shall lead you and guide you into all truth. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees were religious men, right? They had a system that they wanted to propagate to the Jewish nation. And they were taking things out of context, and they were using their own ways to promote themselves. They wanted people to see them praying, to see them giving, you know, so that people would say, oh, they're holy men. They were doing some of that. Not all of them, but a lot of them were doing that. They were using the law to cause you and I to feel inept and small and petty, and that we needed them in order to survive. That's not the way God intended, right? But they were using the law in that way. Now, something you can imagine that some people in the church today use the word of God to do the same thing. Help to heap themselves up. You know, I'm greater than you. I'm the spiritual guy. Come over here and speak to me because I can tell you all about yourself and do all the blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I'm standing in the way. Standing in the way, not the way. No, it's okay. Some of you will get that. So we know that there are foundational truths in the Word of God, represented by those things that are found in Hebrews 5. What's the word of righteousness? It's a question that comes up. Let's go read this first for you before I go on. In Hebrews 5, 5th chapter, 11 through 14, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which the principles of oracles of God, the first principles and oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who reason by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good, both good and evil. So the question is, what's the words of righteousness? Well, we know that's the word of God, the scripture verses that deal with our relationship with God. The words of righteousness. We want to be skilled in the words of righteousness, not unskilled, because if we're unskilled, then we're like babes. But we want to be skilled in the words of righteousness. Righteousness is our right relationship with God, how we get into the perspective of being on God's side as opposed to being on the devil's side. These are things the newborn babes need to learn right in the beginning of their walk. He is our father, and newborn babes are his children, his sons and daughters. And newborn babe has faith and lives according to this determination. Our right relationship with God determines how we pray, how we praise and worship, how we speak and how we speak and consider others. It determines our focus and our purpose in life. the words of righteousness. The word of God, that's just all we're talking about, the word of God, where we know how to have a right standing with him. Well, we know where our right standing is. And we know when we slip, how to get back. Those are the words of righteousness. My right standing with God, my relationship with God. I understand my relationship. I want to improve my relationship with God. Those are the things that you wake up in the morning going, hello, Lord. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. What are we going to do today? How are we going to move forward today? I got a few things I want you to help me with. A few things I got to get out of or whatever you're dealing with. But, you know, you concentrate, you focus on receiving those words that put you in right standing with God. And your first one is that you must ask for what? Forgiveness. You ask God for forgiveness so you can set yourself back right. He said if he hears your prayer, he'll do those things. He'll faithfully and righteously forgive you, set you back in the right path. Even for the sins of commission, sins of omission, and sins of what third one? What's the third one? Commission, omission, and sins of... It's the ones when you don't know that you sinned. I think that's right, right? And anybody ever heard that? Nobody? Nobody ever heard that? Well, we know that God is taking, or Jesus has taken care of all sins, even the ones you haven't committed yet, the ones you have committed, and the ones you are committing. He has forgiven you for all those. All you have to do is acknowledge his forgiveness and stand right back in his presence again. All right, got a couple more things. So I dealt with a lot, just like the pastor did with the foundational truths. Gave there some insights about that, but I won't go through those since he's been doing that. I will, though, talk about this last thing. Well, there's two things. It's babes. One of them is called perfect praise. Matthew 21, verse 16, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? We all know that scripture. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has perfected praise. So in the heart of the newborn babe of Christ is what? Praise. Praise and worship. We learned it early. You can see why. Well, I know why, but you can see why. Praise is important. Praise and worship is important. Throughout your life as a Christian, it is never a dull thing. It is something that you and I need to understand, that we need to have. It's something that, well, as children, you know, you can watch pastors' children, how elated they are doing praise and worship and joyful and light, cheery. Their faces are beaming doing praise. Wow, where do we lose that? Well, we enter the praise and it's a dirge. You sit back there and your face is grimaced. You say, well, Kurt, how you? Because I'm looking at you. That's how I can say it. And I'm like, where is the joy? Put a smile on your face even if you don't feel like it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost who's in you, the temple that resides here, he's in you. Spirit of God's in. You've been made a new creation in God. Therefore, there are some things that should be affecting the outside of you. Ooh, really? Yes. Really. How are they going to affect other people if they can't see the glory of God on you? Sometimes that just comes through the smile. I'm just saying that for myself because I need it. When you're looking back at me when I'm doing praise worship. Oh, can you smile just a little bit? Oh, that would help me out a lot to just kind of. don't worry about it. In the heart of newborn baby Christ, God hears and produces perfect praise. Jesus was quoting Psalms 8:2. As a newborn babe's heart is full of praise for God. Do you remember when you were first saved? You cannot wait to go to church, to be amongst God's people, to fellowship and to praise and worship him. Every word, every second word out of your mouth was praise the Lord, and every third word was hallelujah. Do you remember those days? How excited it was when you first were born again. You were like, oh, let's go. And you were like, let's pray. Let's go pray for so-and-so. You remember? Can you remember that? When you first got, it was so exciting. You were so exuberant. A lot of us were so young. But he wants you to keep, that's a newborn babe attitude that he wants you to continue on. That's something we need to grow and carry on. Amen? So praise is important. Second thing, and I'll be closing after this. A fascinating characteristic of newborn babes. This is a fascinating characteristic. And, you know, when I thought about it, I questioned God. I was like, really? You want babes to do this? As a newborn babe, can you imagine what it is? Paul's writing to the Christian church at Corinth. And in chapter 3, again, we know that he calls them carnal Christians or newborn babes. He exhorts them in the character one in chapter 1 for the grace of God given to them, for being enriched in everything by specifically in all utterances and in all knowledge, so that they come behind in no gift. This phrase, come behind in no gift, is important and interesting because we believe it speaks to the all utterances and all knowledge and grace given to them in verse 4. These we know to be the what? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches us through teaching the Corinthian church what these gifts are and how to operate them properly in the church in chapters 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians. More interesting is that God has given these gifts to newborn babes. Now, I already told you what a newborn babe is, right? And you're going, God, you give a gift? Well, it's the reason why Paul was actually writing this book, wasn't it? Because they had gotten out of order, because they were using their gifts out of order. God blessed them, baptized them in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you read the foundational principle, we talk about baptisms, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to them soon after you accept Jesus in your heart. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You would think that he would wait a little longer because it has such power and might. But no, he gives it to you right away. And then on top of that, he distributes gifts. We know about the 9 major gifts, but then there are many more gifts that he talks about. That he gives unto those who first enter into a relationship with him. How do we lose that? Every last one of us. Every last one of us. Who has accepted Jesus Christ, he says, can receive a gift from him. Matter of fact, he says he's given unto every man, but according to his measure of faith, this gift. Where is it? Have you buried it? Have you shut it out? Or are you still thinking, I'm still a babe, I'm trying to come up to there? It would thrill the pastor. It would thrill the town of Blacksburg, Christiansburg, or wherever we live, when we begin to operate in the gift that God has given us. Come on. So you're saying, what are you saying? I'm saying, well, you need to get to it. We need to be having some gifts going. If they, you know, I'll say this, but Pastor Mark don't like it, but even if it's out of order, we need some gifts. We need some encouragement. The world needs it. And God put it in a particular place because he wanted us to grow up into it, right? He wanted us to grow with it, grow with him. He started it at the beginning, and he knows that he's there. And then you may not have this great grand, you know, whoo-hoo, like some people do, you know, when they use their gifts. But you and I should say, God, where's my gift? God, what do you have me to do? What is it? And it doesn't have to be one of the 9 gifts that we read about, you know. It could be you're supposed to go over and hug that person. Sherry's got one like that. She don't where it is. God tells her to do it, she'll go do it. Go over hug that lady. She'll go hug them. Sometimes they break down crying. She don't say a word. She just hugs them. They come looking for her. Listen to me. They come looking for her. Where is Sherry? Sherry, I need a hug this morning. Why? The world needs the love of God that is shed abroad in your and I's heart. And we just need to be obedient. Could be, go shake a hand. Could be, bake a pie. Could be, write on a chalkboard and say some stuff to some people. It could be whatever God says, but you and I need to seek it and know that it is so we can grow in it, because he's going to a certain place. We're all going to a certain place. And when you get to that place, he don't want to say, what happened to your gift? You got to use your gift now. And you go, wait a minute. What you got? You got to go back to the babe place where you can understand it, where he's giving you grace to understand it because he's giving it to them, right? He gave Paul this train, this word so that we could understand it. You say, well, I cannot. Get out of your intellect. Get out of your head. Get out of your mind. You are spiritual men. You are not mere men. Get out of what you understand. Get into what God understands and what he wants you to understand about it. I had to get to a place where I had to say, I don't know what it does or how he did it. I just do it. Why? Because he's God. I'm not. Somewhere along the line, we need to learn this obedience to him. This, not disobedience, this, T-H-I-S, this obedience to him. No, that sounds like disobedience, right? Somewhere we need to get on the train, y'all. We're not young. I mean, God is ancient. He's thousands of years old. So none of us, we don't even come to the level of, you know, I was trying to figure out the oldest man in the Bible is Methuselah. How old is he? He's 1,004? Oh, he's 969. I was like, man, he's almost 1,000 years. You know, the Bible tells us that 1,000 years is as one day. One day with the Lord, right? 1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years. So if we're living to be 70 and 80, 90, some of us, some of us, 100, one-tenth of a day, according to God, is how long your life is. One-tenth to God. Think about that. We need to get moving. We ain't got much time, y'all. We need to get moving. And we claim, I'm going to hop on some of you right now. Pull your feet underneath your chair. I'm going to step on your toes. We claim, I don't understand. I don't understand that, Holy Ghost. I don't understand that speaking in tongues. I don't understand. I got to understand it before I do it. And God is looking at you like, who put you in charge? Sometimes you just got to do it before you can understand it. Sometimes you have to move in the obedience before he then says, now let me explain to you what happened. But you got to have some faith, y'all. You got to pull your pants up. Do some stuff. Get out of your rut. Move according to, we're just talking about newborn babes. We didn't get into the childlike state, which is the next one, where I think a lot of the body of Christ is. They got stuck at childish behavior, attitudes. A lot of them don't want to move on to young men. What book tells us about young men? Paul wrote a book to that young man named Timothy. Go to Timothy. You're going to learn some stuff about what young men do. What young adults do as Christians. You'll learn some stuff. He also wrote some stuff in there about maturity. Going to the next level beyond the young man. Right? And then there's one more step out of that. Woohoo! But Where are we? We're stuck down here, wallowing in our carnality and speaking evil and not wanting to love people. Bible tells us love conquers all things. There's no defense for love. Our enemies cannot beat us when we love them. Democrat or Republican, homosexual or abortionist, whomever they are, they can't beat us when we love them. Who's gonna be man and woman enough to do that? Why you say that? Because that's the kingdom of God that Jesus said was here, that we are a part of the citizenry of. The kingdom of God, not some other place. Well, we may be citizens of Blacksburg and Christiansburg and of the United States and Virginia, but he says you are a saint in the kingdom of God, and there is power and authority in your mouth, your words. The kingdom of God. That's operating the kingdom. Whenever you see it, reel its head, you just say to yourself, make sure you're seeing. How big or how important is that thing compared to the kingdom of God? Can it? Will it? Will it defeat us? Because it's reeling its head? And the devil's reeling his head. I had a thing, I was so mad at myself. I was praying because there were so many innocent people dying under gunshot. People were attacking schools, malls, clubs, where people gather, concerts, just shooting for no reason whatsoever. And I said, God, that's a strategy of the enemy. That's a strategy of the devil. And as a Christian person, we need to pray and stop that. You say, oh, we can pray and stop. We've been given power and authority, right? The Bible tells us to pray for all men, that they have hearts of what? Peace and righteousness. That's us. The kingdom of God operating. Now, if we get enough of us, maybe it takes more than, well, I know it takes more than just me, but maybe if we, all of us start, and then we influence all of the other people, another church starts, and we all start proclaiming this and start praying and asking God to stop this heinous deaths of innocent lives. We don't even know if some of them have even professed Jesus or gone to, you know, be with the Lord or anything or said anything like that, made any commitments. We don't even know. And their lives are being snuffed out. Children, babies. We got to get a hold of ourselves, church. I think this is what God, he's looking at us. He's not looking at the world. He's not looking at the police department. He's not looking at the government, the Senate, and the, you know, the presidency. He's not looking at any of those, the armed services, the military. He's looking at the church. Jesus is looking at the church, you and I. Where's your authority? Are you still yet babes? Are you still children? Do you not want to grow into your maturity where you begin to take charge, effectual? Fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Causes things to happen. Causes circumstances to change. You and I. You say, well, I don't want that responsibility. It's too late. You already have the responsibility. It's the seal of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. When you confess to him your sins and he received you, you became that person. It's in there. And we need to begin to take hold of it. Amen? That's the last thing. But right after that, I give a summary about all the stuff I just gave you. It's in the part of the book that I'm writing. And it talks about babes in Christ. I mean, think about it. I mean, some of this stuff you probably heard before. Some of you probably haven't. But that's the babe level, a level that all of us, I'm looking around, none of us was saved yesterday. But years we've been saved. Years we've been born again. Years we've been reading the word, praying, coming to church, doing those things that we believe God's. So we know we should be at least past that, but are we still operating in some of those things? Some of the negative things? Do we have the positive things of being a babe in Christ? Gifts is important. Amen? Are you good? understanding, I'll go to the next level next time. Pastor gives me opportunity, we'll talk about the childlike attitudes and behavior. But understand this about babes. If you want to go around saying, I'm a babe, I'm not going to judge you on doing that. You just go ahead and be joyful in being a babe. But know that God is wanting you to move on. His system, people have gone and they've died in that state. And they've gone to heaven. They're rejoicing right now. I believe they're sitting there in classroom right now going, oh, God's like, Nick, you need to learn some stuff. You need to learn it down there. You need to learn it now. Gotta learn some stuff. That just popped into my head. I don't know if that's true or not, what God does, if he puts you in a classroom or not. But so just be light about that. Curtis is making light. But understand that. And let's move on. Let's be determined. We don't have to go fast. Let's just take the next step. Declare I'm going to do something to get me to the next level. Amen?